Hey, everybody.
How are you guys doing?
This is Zach.
And this is Stuart.
And this is the Back Row Super Show.
That's right.
This is the main show. It's episode 27. Mm-hmm. Avatar, The Last Airbender.
That is why I shaved my head and put some arrows all over me.
Yeah.
So
we're talking about Avatar or Yip Yip.
That's right. Gotta get your Sky Bison.
So, yeah, this one's kind of a blast from the past.
It is. It's a fantastic show. First of all, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing some spoilers, but only spoilers from season one.
Right. So the show was actually on the air from 05 to 08.
Yeah, on Nickelodeon.
Uh-huh.
And then it was also, you were able to stream it off of Netflix for a little bit.
Yeah. So, this is an interesting anime, quote-unquote, because it's American anime.
You know, I'm glad that you said it was an anime. People have been fighting nonstop to say, no, it's an American cartoon. No, it's been influenced by... Sorry.
Yeah.
This is me with my little soapbox
standing
on it. This has been influenced by Japanese anime, and I do not think that anime has to be from Japan to be classified as anime.
Yeah, like, so anime has a very peculiar or particular style.
Sorry, I'll get off of my soapbox now.
No, you're fine. it's American anime because that's the influences that it draws from.
Yeah.
The
animation style is very unique, and it does, you know, have the similarities to a lot of anime shows.
And I mean, I feel like you have to go with what the influences are, because now, you know, a lot of the anime, I think, is animated in, like, Korea and Thailand and stuff like that. With a global economy, I feel like you have to, if you have an American animated show and it's very obviously influenced by Japanese animation.
Yeah.
Japanese animation is no longer animated in Japan, for the most part. I mean, there's still houses that do it, but, like, this is an anime.
It is an
American anime.
Yeah. Because, like, I would consider Ruby, which is another great show.
It's spelled R-W-B-Y.
Yes. I would consider that an anime as well, even though it's produced here in the United States.
Right.
Just again, because of the influences and the design of the animation.
Yeah. Now, this show aired for three seasons. This show calls each season a book, because it's kind of a hero's journey where...
It is.
In the world, there is a person who masters all of the classical elements. So you have air, water, earth, and fire.
Mm-hmm.
The Avatar can master all of them. Everyone else can really only do
one.
Their specific nation. Like, everyone's divided into nations.
Yeah, and they have their specific affinity, where it be water, fire, earth, or air.
Yeah.
But not everybody can use the bending. I believe they state that it's like a 30-70 split.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so there's less elementalists.
Yes, there are less elementalists, at least in Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Aang is the Avatar, this current version of the Avatar. The Avatar is kind of a line of people, so that there's a collective memory.
Yes. It does have influences in reincarnation.
Yeah.
So the Avatar is reincarnated into another person, and they've mapped out that you can sort of figure out which nation is going to get the Avatar.
Yeah.
Where it can go, I believe it goes, I'm not 100% sure how it goes.
Yeah, so this particular Avatar is Aang. He already knows how to bend air or use air to his ability. Season one, book one, is subtitled Water, whereupon he learns how to use water. Book two, or season two, is subtitled Earth. He learns Earth. And then book three is subtitled Fire, wherein he learns Fire.
Yes.
So,
we're just going to be focusing on the first season.
Yeah. Now, the first season introduces us to Aang. He is, 100? years-ish old.
So,
used his avatar powers to freeze himself while he's being pursued and hunted down by the antagonists of the show, the Fire Nation.
Yes.
And so he wakes up in Water Nation territory, or one of the Water Nation territories, and is befriended by Katara, who herself is a waterbender.
That's right.
She's still learning how to bend, so she's not... She can't really teach him how. She just knows how to basically, like, make a little splash of water every now and then.
Yeah.
And her brother Sokka, who is not a bender. There's a lot of influences drawn from this show. So we're going to do a little bit of changing gear in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did want to talk about the real life influences.
Yeah, and then we'll probably go episode by episode, just kind of briefly saying what we enjoyed about that episode and giving a very simple summary of that episode.
Yeah.
But we just kind of wanted to give it an overview. Now, the Avatar is one that brings peace and harmony to the four nations. So he's basically like God Cop, where he is out there not policing, but trying to balance between the nations and humans and the spirit world.
Yeah.
Because he can basically travel, quote unquote, in astral form to the spirit world.
Yeah. Now, as far as the real life influences on the show go, if you go online, there's a fair amount of back and forth and kind of controversy with the show, because some people fall on the side of arguing that this is appropriation, the show, because it is so it draws from influences, which I'll get into.
It does, but
it kind of is, but I feel like it's done in, if you can say this, the best and most considerate way possible, because the person that they contacted in terms of developing the martial arts styles for the different nations, the consultant himself is a member of the Chinese Athletic Association. His name is Sifu Kisu of the Harmonious Fist.
Yes.
And then the artists for the cities took real-life influences from Asian areas, but it's not on Earth. It's in a completely made up fantasy world. So they use different consultants for the specific cities for the art and the style, rather than just relying on broad stereotypes.
Yeah.
As far as the cities go, if I remember right, it's the Earth City, Ba Sing Se.
Yes, that's correct.
Is based on, if you look at the architecture in the city in the animation, it's based on the Forbidden City and incorporates elements of the Great Wall.
Yes, because there are layers of that wall, and then there's a particular palace where people cannot enter.
Yeah. The Fire Nation itself had early designs towards being Japanese, but the creators wanted to avoid making just a sweeping statement about a particular nation, so they changed it to incorporate a lot of more broad Southeast Asian influences. So you get things from India, some Cambodian architectural styles, and then even some Eastern Chinese city stylings. The Air Nation they drew heavily from Tibet and Tibetan monasteries.
Yeah.
And then the Water Nation people are all based on Inuit and Saranac settings.
Yeah.
It's accurate based on the locations.
Yeah. And even the styles were based off of martial arts.
Yeah.
Where when people want to enact or call upon their element, they would have to do a particular movement, a particular style. So the Fire Nation, when you're using your fire bending, it was a lot of heavy movements, which were borrowed from Shaolin Kung Fu.
Yeah. So I have these here. It's so fire bending, for example, and all of these were designed with Sifu Kisu of the Harmonious Fist. Firebending, a lot of the movements were drawn from Northern Shaolin style, which is strong arm and leg movements.
Yes.
Airbending use, and I've never heard of these. I know you've done martial arts. I've heard of.
I did. I do. I did Eagle Claw Kung Fu. So.
Well, so maybe you know some of these. The airbending draws from Bagua,
yeah.
There's a lot of circular movements and then quick directional changes with your arms.
Yeah, which is really interesting because again, it's the element of air, which is very free flowing. So
yeah,
I thought that was really cool.
Earthbending. Well, let me put an asterisk next to earthbending. I'll come back to that in a second. Waterbending uses a lot of Tai Chi movements.
Yes.
Especially in the hands, the way you position your hands, because you're working with water, and Tai Chi itself, doesn't it mean the flow?
Yes. Yeah. It's a slower sort of movement. It's very particular on how you would want to move. You're more focused on the detail of the movement than the actual movement itself. It is a martial arts that's favored more by older people because it's not as demanding on the muscles, where you're just sort of taking your time and slowly flowing.
Yeah. So earthbending, which I said I'll put a star next to, was drawn from, for the general earthbenders, it's modeled off of Hungar, which draws on firmly rooted stances and then powerful arm strikes.
Yeah.
Now, the asterisk is, and this is a character that may show up in the second season, but there is a character in the main party named Toph.
Yeah, and she does show up in the second season.
Now, she's blind, and the reason I wanted to bring her up, even though she's in the second season, the way that she uses earthbending actually uses an entirely different martial art.
Yeah.
It uses Chugar Southern Praying Mantis style, because this character is blind, and so a lot, like, she also walks around barefoot, because that's kind of how she senses her surroundings.
Yes. And so she uses vibrations in the ground.
Yeah, and so that style relies on a lot of shuffling and a lot of more lower based movements rather than a lot of arm strikes.
Yeah. And let me also mention that this series was very well written. There are moments where I laughed, there were moments where I cried. It was so well written.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like there was much filler in it at all. It felt like a lot of times they were just hitting points and moving on.
Yeah, a lot of times you hear with anime, you'll have like filler episodes of like Monster of the Week or like this week's mystery or what have you. And this series stayed pretty much on target the entire time.
Yeah, it had a story to tell, and each episode contributed to that story, moving along the story. So, I mean, I cannot emphasize how well written this series was and how much I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy this show. In terms of any other background stuff, there's to go on the marketing, there were action figures released because this was on Nickelodeon, so it is primarily a kids show, but I feel like older audiences really
grasped onto it
as well. There was a trading card game.
Oh, developed. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Huh. Three video games.
Nice.
Stuffed animals, because Aang has this flying bison.
Sky bison,
named Appa. That he calls by saying Yip Yip, which is why that's the subtitle of this episode.
Yeah.
Two Lego sets, an art book in 2010.
Nice.
And then if you guys want to pick it up and watch it all, you can do that in one lovely spot. It was completely released on Blu-ray June of last year for the 10th anniversary of the season 3 finale.
Yeah.
I feel old as hell saying that.
Yeah. And then it also had a spinoff, Legends of Korra.
Yeah, so Legend of Korra was on the air from 2012 to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
This show, Avatar, The Last Airbender, has a live-action remake coming on Netflix.
Yeah, after the horrible success of Avatar: The Last Airbender, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
I wouldn't call it a success. I would call it a disaster. But Netflix is doing a live-action remake. It was announced last year. It'll probably be out in 2020.
Yeah, and I'm very interested because I'm not sure if they're just going to retell the story,
yeah,
or if they're going to try and make a new story or whatnot.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I know the creators for this show also did a Netflix original show called The Dragon Prince that I have not watched yet.
I have not seen that either.
But I hear nothing but good things. So they have a very good handle on how to make compelling stories, it seems,
yeah,
with realistic characters.
Because this is definitely a long story, and even M. Night Shyamalan couldn't basically do it in one movie, because he had set up for two additional movies to be made, but since it was such a huge disaster, no one touched it.
Yeah, no, and the live-action movie, it's not... It's
got a lot of problems.
Terrible, but it has a lot of problems. The main one being a lot of the whitewashing that they did.
Yeah.
The other one would be that he tried to combine 20 episodes into a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Which he kind of hit the high points, but there's a lot that they left out.
He did not hit all the high points. I feel like he glazed over a lot of stuff. The whole, like, bending was horrible. There's a great meme out there about 10 earthbenders doing their dance just to move, like, a small stone. And it's just, like, bad CG and bad kid actors. Like, I know kid actors were not expecting the greatest from them, but, like, these kids were horrible.
Well, like... So, for example, one of the things, not to take not the, too much of a tangent.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can focus on
in the first season, though, there's a group of earthbenders that are being imprisoned
on a rig.
Kind of a, yeah, like an oil derrick type thing out in the middle of water, because guess what? There's no earth for them to move.
Yeah. Because they cannot move iron. Iron is a refined metal, basically, and they cannot bend it. They have to bend, like, an earthy soil.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of refinement in all of the elements that you need a special...
But again...
Extra level to even manipulate. But, like, with the M. Night Shyamalan movie... For budget reasons, I'm assuming, or location reasons, he had these same earthbenders, but they were just kind of imprisoned in a pen where there's regular ground in a quarry. Like, how are you keeping them contained?
And but anyway, again, not to harp on, one last thing.
Okay.
Sokka, who is sort of the, I would say, funny man.
Yeah, he's comic relief.
He's the comic relief. Was just the serious kid who had no real purpose in the movie, so...
Yeah, whereas in the show, he's put in he is the audience's linchpin in that he doesn't use any of the waterbending.
Yeah.
He's not special in terms of being able to use any of the elements.
Yeah.
But he's still along for the ride. Like, he still contributes to the party, so to speak.
And he contributes, and he is brave, and it's really somebody that you can kind of relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so let's go through the first season. The first season, basically Water, it had 20 episodes. The first one was The Boy and the Iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
It aired in February 2005.
Okay.
This one was basically Aang was running away from the Fire Nation, kind of running away from his duty too, because he had been selected as the Avatar, and he was more of a carefree spirit, and he didn't want all that responsibility.
Yeah.
So he ended up running away, and he got caught in a horrible storm, And basically, the Avatar has this ability when he's in danger, he can call upon his other past lives to give him power.
Yeah.
So he used that ability and basically put him in an iceberg for 100 years, freezing himself and, I guess, stopping his age. The Earth Kingdom... No, not the Earth Kingdom. I'm sorry. The Fire Nation used this time to basically start attacking people and wiped out the entire...
Air Nation.
Because they knew that the Avatar was going to be part of the Air Nation because they knew of the pattern. So this episode basically finds Sokka and...
Katara.
And they find Aang. They basically release him from his iceberg. And you are also met with the antagonist, Zuko. He is the prince of the Fire Nation who has been an outcast.
Yeah, he is the prince at large.
Yes, and you meet his uncle, Uncle Iroh, who I think is one of the best characters in the show.
Who is voiced by the dearly departed Mako.
Yeah.
The voice actor, Mako, he is, he's been in a number of things, but when you hear his voice, you'll recognize him. If you've ever seen Conan the Barbarian, he's the wizard in it. He passed away during filming of the second season,
when they were in Ba Sing Se. And they did a fantastic, they spent an entire episode, well, not an entire episode, part of an episode as basically an
just following him.
And it was in memory of
And then at the very end it says in memory of Mako, because that was the last thing he had recorded his dub for.
Yeah.
And it is heartbreaking, and
it is
an adult watching it. I can't help but like get choked up. Even talking about it.
Yeah, I mean it choked me up too, and you know, it brought a tear to my eyes, and I think that's just amazing when an animated series meant for kids can touch you in that kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second one is The Avatar Returns. And it's basically Zuko capturing Aang.
Yeah.
And Sokka and Kiara basically end up rescuing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. The third episode is the Southern Air Temple. This is when Aang sort of realizes what the Fire Nation has done to his people.
Yeah.
This is when he realizes that he is indeed the last of the Airbenders.
Yeah, because this is when he finds out, the Fire Nation has just stomped out his people.
Yeah.
So he is, for all intents and purposes, literally the last Airbender.
The last Airbender, yeah. The fourth one is the Warriors of Kyoshi. This is a funnier one. It's a little bit more lighthearted. It basically has Sokka trying to learn the ways of these warrior women. And again, with him being kind of a brash young man, he thinks that, you know, being a warrior is a man's duty. So he is pleasantly shown up by these women, warriors.
I really liked it, because this is the one with the people that are dressed as a previous avatar, right?
Yes. They're not dressed as a previous avatar. They fight with fans.
Yeah, but they all have like a battle garb that's like face paint and dress in the same... Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really cool episode.
It's definitely a character building for Sokka.
Yeah.
As he also learns different styles of fighting.
Yeah.
He learns the style from these warrior women's, and he grows as a character, realizing that not just males are warriors.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what your gender is. You can be a warrior no matter what.
Right.
So the next episode is,
The King of Omashu.
Omashu, yes. So, as Aang's traveling around, he's trying to figure out who he wants to teach him particular styles.
Yeah.
And this is one of the Earth Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the introduction of the Cabbage Man, where it is nothing but a guy who carries around a cart of cabbages, mm-hmm. who apparently is in quite a few episodes.
Yeah, he's in pretty much every new city they go to.
Yeah, where he's just trying to sell his cabbage, and every episode his cabbage cart gets destroyed.
Yup.
And he has the one line of, my cabbages! Yeah. He is definitely kind of a meme. But Aang realizes that he shouldn't judge books by his cover, because he meets the king of this Earth Nation, who ends up being his long-lost friend from 100 years ago.
Boomy.
King Boomy
is probably one of my favorite characters of season one.
He is a crazy old earthbender who just...
because he's like 114.
Yeah. And the way that Aang figures it out is he puts him through a bunch of trials. And Boomy was always one think outside of the box. And through all of these trials, he has to think outside of the box.
Yeah.
And then he finally recognizes that it's his friend. But since he's so old, he tells him that he is destined to learn earthbending from another.
Yeah.
The sixth one is imprisoned. This is where we were talking about where they meet a bunch of earthbenders who are imprisoned by the Fire Kingdom. They basically put them on that iron, what would you call it? Like an iron rig?
Oil derrick rig?
Something along those lines, yeah. And basically Aang influences them to fight against the Earth Nation, or the Fire Nation, even though they can't earthbend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying, because you're basically using your hands and feet against people that can cast fire out of their hands.
Yeah. You also meet a side character, Haku, in this one as well, who kind of has some sort of romance a little bit with Katara.
Katara? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember.
He's got a fancy goatee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. The seventh one is the Winter Solstice Part 1, The Spirit World, where basically Aang is figuring out his spiritual connection to the spirit world. He has the ability where he can transverse or like navigate through the spirit world using like an astro projection.
Yeah.
And he...
Spirit world is kind of scary, too.
It is. And he meets his previous incarnation of Avatu Raku. He was from the Fire Nation.
Yeah, just because you're from the Fire Nation does not make you evil.
Mm-hmm.
Master Roku was a, like you said, a firebender first, but he's the previous Avatar, and so he has all of the power. So he kind of has equal insight, I guess.
Yes.
Is another way of putting it.
And again, with this reincarnation system, many of your past lives can visit you to help you in times of turmoil.
Right.
So Raku ends up coming to him and basically telling him that he needs to enact his plan before this meteor comes. Because this, and again, in part two, you realize that the Fire Nation is basically setting up for the comet. I forget the name of the comet, Zozu's comet, to come back around, because when Zozu's comet is in the sky, it boosts fire bending's power.
Yeah.
So they know that there is a time limit, so Aang needs to start mastering all three elements.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number nine is the water bending scroll, where basically they learn stealing is bad.
Yeah.
Stealing from pirates, even worse.
Even worse.
Yeah. So they end up stealing from these pirates this waterbending scroll, where both Aang and
Katara
are learning. And then there is number 10, Jet, which is part of this, like, band of kids. Jet is a really cool character because he uses two weapons that are used in Equal Call Kung Fu. I forget the name of the weapons, they're basically swords. Yeah, swords with hooks on them, which is really cool because you can, like, trip up your opponents. You can actually hook the two swords together and start swinging them around. But basically, Jet was a part of this guerrilla fighters against the Fire Nation. And in the actual episode, they realize, hey, maybe we should not be fighting these, like, guerrilla tactics war against the Fire Nation.
Well, and it's funny you say that you like Jet, because yeah. Jet is very much a character that you would play, I think, in a role-playing game.
Yes.
Jet is not my favorite character, if I'm being honest.
Yes, he's a very boisterous,
loud,
like,
and brash. Like we said in Soul Leader, you like Black Star.
Yeah.
Not a fan of Black Star.
Yeah, this is definitely, like, a Black Star sort of character.
Yeah.
Where he is just, like, loud and... Right. Yeah, so the guerrilla tactics that he was going to use... was he was going to get all of the Fire Nation soldiers out of this one village yeah. by flooding the village, by destroying this dam. But by destroying this dam, he would put he would put a bunch of lives in danger.
Yeah.
So Aang ends up...
Hundreds is probably conservative estimate of yeah. how many people he would kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, you know, he was... basically saying that the ends justify the means.
Yeah.
Which, we all know, not a good way of thinking.
No.
So, the next one is the Great Divide. this is when they start basically naming themselves Team Avatar. And this is a particular one where they... realize that they need to go to the North Pole. So the two water tribes live both in the South Pole and the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the South Pole was pretty much wiped out by the Fire Nation, except for a couple of tribes here and there.
Yeah, Katara and Sokka are really the only... like, their family mm-hmm. and some friends are all that exist of the Southern Water Tribe.
Yeah, so...
like 30 people.
Apparently their mother was killed during a raid of the Fire Nation, and their father is out doing, basically coordinated strikes yeah. against the
Freedom
Fire
Fighter-y
Nation.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. And they were raised by their grandmother, who I believe was also a waterbender.
Yes.
And the Northern tribe of the Water Nation wasn't touched because they basically had, like, an ice fortress.
Yeah.
So they realized to learn waterbending, they need to go to the Northern Water Tribe. 12, the Storm. They need money, so Sokka decides to help out a fisherman. Again, this is kind of another, like, growing of Sokka.
Yeah.
And it's nice because he is... I guess the most underpowered character since he can't do bending.
Right.
So it's really cool to sort of see these, like, grows in his character.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 13th one was the Blue Spirit, where he, oh yeah, that's right. This one was really strange. Because Sokka is suffering an illness, and Aang goes to, like, a nearby herbalist to cure his friends, and basically he's kidnapped by these particular archers from the Fire Nation, but Zuko wants to capture Aang, so he has this, like, alternate persona of the Blue Spirit, where he puts on this blue mask.
Yeah, it's a blue Oni mask, and he dresses all in black. Mm-hmm. So he's just this masked crusader-type character.
Yes. So he basically has to rescue Aang from these archers in order for him to capture Aang, but they end up in a situation where he has to let Aang go so he can capture him another day.
Yeah.
Yeah. 14, the Fortune Teller. This one's kind of a Katara, where she sort of learns that there are other ways to use her waterbending, like basically sucking moisture out of plants and things like that. So just not being around water doesn't hinder her abilities and things along those lines. And yeah, so there is 15, where they find a abandoned water tribe ship, basically. They try to get somebody to join them, and they don't.
Yeah. So there's a couple of filler episodes, but they all contribute to the main line. It's not like a Monster of the Week or...
Yeah. And again, it's them sort of building up the characters.
Right.
16 is the Deserter. 17 is the Northern Air Temple, where they finally get to the Air Temple, or where they get to a airbending temple, and they meet this one guy, this inventor, who starts inventing these, like, gliding machines, and he's invented it to his son, who is, unfortunately stuck in a wheelchair, and Aang basically thinks that they're, disrespecting his temple, since they're basically making all these inventions and stuff, but really they're honoring the traditions of the airbenders by using gliders.
Yeah, which I can see why Aang is angry, because, yeah, they're just kind of appropriating places where his people were and just kind of using machines and being like, yeah, we're airbenders.
Yeah. So, 18 is water bending master. So basically, they get up to the water tribe. Unfortunately, they want to train Aang, but they don't want to train Katara. So Katara has to like prove herself. So it's just kind of like gaining the trust of the nation. And again, we're kind of speeding through this. Just kind of mentioning the highlights. I, again, highly recommend this. And I think people would love it. 19 is the Siege of the North, Part 1. And 20 is Part 2. And it's basically the Fire Nation attacking. Yeah. The
Northern Water Tribe.
Mm-hmm. That's Book 1. And, again, I know I've probably said it a million times. I love this series.
Yeah.
It's got a special place in my heart. It really makes me laugh. It makes me feel. It's got this great style of animation that I just love. And it has this, like, really genuine tone to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a subject that I picked, and I was like, we should talk about this just because I love it so much.
Yeah.
And when we were going through the episodes, again, it was just highlights. I highly recommend you watching it, because I probably did not do it justice, like giving the...
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah,
there's
spoilers just of us randomly covering the episodes.
But yeah, like, and I didn't give any spoilers. I did not give that much... Or that many spoilers.
Well, and there's a lot of nuance to what's going on, and there's a lot of character development that you get to see unfold. So even if you know how it unfolds, it's also meant for kids, so presumably you can tell the direction that it's taking.
Yeah.
It's not like there are any curveballs to get through.
I believe that, yeah. But again, I think it heavily relies on the great writing and script.
Yeah.
All the conversations feel natural. The funny parts are funny. The sad parts are sad.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I highly recommend it to pretty much everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I do as well. It's probably one of the more accessible animes that I think we've covered so far.
Yeah, and again, it's only 3 seasons, and I believe they're all 20 episodes.
I think some are longer, but yeah, like 60 episodes, I think, minimum.
Again, it's very accessible. And then they've also got this Blu-ray of just all of the books in there.
Yeah, which you can get it in Target. I've seen it in Target, and I keep meaning to pick it up. But
and it's not that, I mean, for 3 seasons, it's not that expensive.
No, it's like $25, $30, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like $60.
Nope.
Oh,
nope.
Man.
Nope.
I need to grab that Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And if you love it, there are other other shows that you can watch, like The Legend of Korra.
Which I haven't seen yet. I have an idea of the turns that it takes, but Legend of Korra is set, what, like 70 years or so after this one? Because the Legend of Korra, the whole thrust is that she is the next iteration of the Avatar. And so she has to, she is a waterbender.
So I know how it goes then. Learn... So it goes fire, air, water,
earth.
That's the rotation of the airbender. So when the Avatar passes, that next nation's, or somebody from that nation will be the Avatar.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is the Avatar. She is loud and proud, and she knows all the elements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is Avatar, The Last Airbender, Season 1, Book of Water. Stuart recommends it. Two thumbs way up. And, I think that's about it. Did you have anything else you
want? No. If you want to send us an email, let us know how we did with this, or ask if we can talk about book 2 or book 3. Because I feel like the first book doesn't have as many episodes for me that stick out in my mind as much as seasons 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Like the characters, once they've, like, simmered together a little. I'm a fat dude and I'm hungry, so when the characters kind of simmer together, they do really interesting things with their character relationships in later seasons, so it's really worth it to stick around and finish out this show.
I would say probably book 1 is the weakest of the book, but by no means is it bad.
I think the weakest of the show, but the show is very fantastic, strong.
But it's just kind of like, because it's setting things up. Yeah. It's setting up this great dynamic of characters, and you really get to see that with Team Avatar, which is just 3 of them for now.
Send us an email, backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
That's right.
Go to our Facebook.
Check us out there.
4 separate words, Back Row Super Show. We do a weekly, or a multi-weekly, actually. It's a nerd fight. It's a bracket where we pit different characters representing different IPs together.
That's right.
You choose which one is more popular.
Which one you like the best.
And then we do that in coverage episodes as well. We'll have a Patreon live shortly. So stick around. We already have the page, so it's patreon.com/backrowsupershow.
But don't visit it yet, because it might not be there.
Yeah, there's nothing up there as of the recording of this. We'll be working with that shortly. And then in the meta moment, our
meta
book club book is the...
It's Warbreakers by Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah.
Because I chose that one.
Yeah.
I like Brandon Sanderson. And I like Warbreakers. Kind of. Well, you'll have to listen to it to see what our opinion is.
First weekend of April, we'll also be back at 221BCon. That was the first convention coverage that Stuart and I did.
That's right.
I contacted them, and they said, we'd be happy to have you back again.
They said, come on back. We loved you. I'm paraphrasing.
They didn't say that exactly, but they did say that we're more than welcome to come back. And we'll hopefully see you guys there. It's a great show. Keep your ears out for that coming in April.
Yep.
With that, The next main show topic will actually be Rosemary's Baby. The original film.
Yes, the original one.
We'll probably put out two episodes when that one goes live for reasons that will be in the beginning of that episode. But this is the movie from 1968, not the Zoe Saldana remake that was done on Fox
a yeah, few years ago. Never saw that one.
Yeah, I don't think many people did. Oh. but yeah, so we'll be talking about Rosemary's Baby next main show.
All right. And we will see you guys later.
Yep.